All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1102. And you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, March 17th. And of course, this show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Well, if you noticed the little pause there, for those of you that were watching, we're using a brand new build of the new Tech TriCaster Advance. And basically, we're running on this new system called Advanced Edition NDI. I'll talk a little bit about that. And obviously, I didn't get everything set up right because that was supposed to flip back automatically. And when it didn't, I'm just looking at it like, how come it didn't come back to the main screen? So for those of you listening, you could care less. But hey, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider, or you can simple paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store and give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. I'm absolutely thrilled to be putting the show on today. And if you're brand new to the show, and let's see if I can push the right button now, we want you to take some time to go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you have to do is essentially click on the iTunes or Android or by email link, and you get subscribed to the show. The newsletter link is just a little bit lower down the page. You'll see a link there for newsletter and also a new one for offers. Definitely don't miss the offers button as well. So check the site out. And of course, we've got a lot of great writers over at Geek News Central doing lots of great things. And a lot of articles going up. I do have pinned to the very top of the site something from GoDaddy. And if you're over on the website, take some time to please read that. Of course, we'll talk about GoDaddy in a minute. But our writing team is still putting a lot of articles out. So definitely keep advised of that and come over to the website. But everything's been amazing here this week. From it just seems like everything has fell into place. Lots of things going good, and I really can't complain about the progress of what's going on with the show and everything else. And I get some great feedback from those of you that are listening to the show and participating. And as always, we want you to get subscribed by going to to email me if you've got comments about the show at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News, and that's a great way to get connected. Of course, I'm on Google+. I'm on Facebook. Really, everywhere there is, you can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can listen to it on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to basically, wait a second here. And you can listen on Stitcher. Of course, you can listen or watch on Blueberry.com. But you can tell that specific Amazon device to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. And we don't want to restart some of your shows as we have been to some of the family members here. Hey, partner shows of course, include Know Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Elder Divide with Todd Ani, the Pro Gear site being done by the writing team. One thing I wanted to show you folks tonight, and let's see if I can bring it up. I'll just bring up the Pro Gear site. So if you get a chance and you go over to the Pro Gear site, take a peek at the new design. And I've been tweaking it over there, getting it ready. This is what's going to turn into, this is what Geek News Central is going to look like in just a very short order. So if you get a chance, get over there and look at progear.guru. Again, just love to hear your comments on the site design, color, readability, everything is there. The social stuff's not tied in on that specific site yet. So just be aware that that is, that's not there, but that's what's coming to Geek News Central. And, we want you to, provide some feedback. I think it's a nice, and what we've done here with this new site design is, really mobile friendly. It is much faster in the back end. We're not running on the Genesis theme with that particular plugin any longer. It's its own template. It embodies everything that I really wanted in a template, and I think it's got lots of flexibility for me able to grow and really go for a long time. And what I found with the current templating system that we're using, while it's fantastic, the overhead computer-wise, server-wise, is a lot higher to manage that. So that's one of the reasons why we are making the change. And also, it's the same template we're going to give. And it's got lots of color options that we're going to be giving all of our new PowerPress sites users. And it's the default one they get. So if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. And I'll be running it here on Geek News Central as well, and tweaking it as time goes on. Okay, we want to thank, of course, our sponsor, our longtime sponsor, our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And one thing that I have done, again, I talked about on the Geek News Central main page. We've talked about GoDaddy supporting the site. We are a little behind this month in the total number of GoDaddy sales. So again, as I said, if this is your month to think about doing something creative, this would be a great month to pick up a GoDaddy hosting account, pick up some domain names, or use that 30% off code on a GoDaddy product or service, and support the show by telling your friends about it as well. That will help us out a great, great deal. So all the promo codes are on the website. Again, 30% off, 99cent.com, a dollar a month. And really, this deal doesn't get any better than this. A dollar a month managed WordPress with a free domain, a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain, a dollar a month a website builder with Microsoft Outlook email address and a free domain. I actually got an email from one of our listeners here on the show, and he had went and actually a listener from, I think, Brazil, had used the a dollar per month for 12 months, the website builder deal, and pretty ecstatic. I'll go over his email a little later in the show and let you know what he shared. But again, all my promo codes, all of the things that you can use to get signed up with GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Your support is much appreciated as we move through the month of March here. Okay, so just a little bit, I'm going to talk about what's forthcoming. After the show tonight, I'm going to record a GoFundMe video for the podcast awards. I was going to do it on the last show, just ran out of time. So I'm getting that recorded tonight so that I'll have that essentially busted out and be able to put up on the website. And then on Saturday evening, I fly out of here. I head for Albuquerque for a very, very full week. Can't wait to hit the ground running there and hit Frontier and have a Frontier burrito with green chili sauce. It's going to be fantastic. So audio only for the next two shows after this one. So on Monday and Thursday show, again, audio from the hotel room. So that'll be a little more intimate. For those of you that are watching the video portion of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about some changes here that we have in place, and I think it'll excite you about some things that we're going to be able to do here in the future. Also, just prepping for NAB, that is ongoing. Had actually a conference call this morning. I'm going to be at an event in LA to speak at prior to the start of NAB. So went to the we talked with the moderator today about that. But we're still looking for potential developers for the Podcast Awards site as well. So I just wanted to, all of you to keep that in mind. So let's just talk just a little bit about what's going on here on the video side. I've been sitting for over a year with the TriCaster at its basically its ultimate version. It wasn't going to be upgraded any further. I did the price check to find out what it would cost to go from the box I have now to the next level, and it was way outside the budget. It was something like $20,000 to do that, and that's just not in the budget. Totally impossible. I talked to the vendor that I work with, and I said, okay, what's it going to cost to get this to Advanced Edition? And I should have bought it a little bit earlier because it actually cost me $500 more just because I didn't upgrade in the middle of last year. The specials went off. So a $2,000 software upgrade has been applied to the box. And there's some really cool new features. And let me kind of explain what used to happen and what is happening now. And I'll be able to give you guys an example of it here in a second. It used to be to like get the streaming set up. It was a several step process, but now all I have to do is really kind of configure everything on YouTube and then basically sync it with a easy pull down selection. And it just makes it, wow, really easy to, get set up to go on YouTube, and it can stream with multiple, sources. So now I can push more than one stream from the box itself at a time. It's got some new recording functions that I'm still kind of figuring out. But the most important part to this update is something that the folks over at NewTek have implemented called NDI. And if you want to dig into it, if you're really, you know, if you want to see what's going on here, and I was going to load the page. It's a format that the folks at NewTek introduced last year, and it basically allows video to be remote, basically to be sent over IP. No more like video lines. You essentially could set up a studio with NDI implemented cameras, computers, and a whole variety of things, and never run a single video line. And ultimately, what that is going to do is going to drive, make it easier for people to set up studios and do long runs. So as an example, for those of you that are watching, I have today, you guys know I run a separate box to do the audio recording. So that box is, I've never really been able to or needed to show off that screen. And what we have on the screen right now is you guys can actually see the audio being recorded live to Adobe Edition. And the way we've been able to do that is this new NDI technology will take any source. It doesn't matter if it's a camera, a browser, a Skype input, a video player, a YouTube thing, and you just basically, it's like it's a video source. So what I have done is just assigned, I'm running a little converter program on the computer. I said, yes, go ahead and enable and make that that piece a available video feed, and I assigned it to an input. So what really is going on now is that while I still have six inputs on this box to be able to physically set, I have an additional eight. I have eight video connections. So what I essentially now is I have 16 additional inputs to be able to connect stuff to. Now, some of them are used up by DDRs and by graphics embed and stuff like that, but I really now kind of have like a 12-channel video switcher, which is totally overkill because I really don't need it. But it does make it available now where I can buy IP, send stuff to the box that we were never able to before. We used to be able to send like a computer screen to the TriCaster and show that up. But now they're using this, again, this new, what they call NDI technology. And you just route video and you do it through Ethernet LAN. And it's got some incredible encoding efficiency. I'm running it on two machines, really no hiccups whatsoever. Had some firewall stuff to kind of go through in the beginning. But what it's really going to do is going to give me the ability to really up the game here a lot. And what's cool about it, it's in reverse too. So if I want to bring up something on a computer and want someone else to watch the live video going out and actually hear it, they could be on another machine and actually bring up one of the outputs. So they could actually see what I'm seeing without having to sit right here. So that what it's really going to do, it's just going to change the total production piece. And at some point, I will be able to, put a computer in the living room and my son or someone else could actually be in over there doing things part of the stream that would take up my time. So this is a pretty significant software upgrade, and it definitely is going to ultimately reduce cost. I think that there's going to be all kinds of new workflows, all kinds of new storage, webcam. Like I can bring a webcam up now and show a webcam on the screen where I would never been able to do before. So it's going to have some growing pains, but this is really brilliant on what they have done on the IP side. Now, all my cameras are still wired right now, but at some point my cameras won't. Matter of fact, the one camera I have here is a network attached camera, and I know that NewTek has one of those. So at some point, I'm just going to plug that camera into the network. When I turn it on, it's going to become up as a available item, and I just patch it in. It won't even have to be hardwired to the box. Now, what does this ultimately mean? Well, the TriCaster Mini, I'll probably wait 6 months, and I'll probably buy the software upgrade for it, yeah, another $2,000. But what it really does is it extends the Mini to give me like 4 physical inputs and 4 wired inputs. And what it really, what that means is it'll do as much as this machine here had done in the past, which is totally incredible from a size standpoint. So what I have sitting here now has got plenty of horsepower to take me a long time. The only thing is now I'm going to have to buy, because it's way out of warranty, I'm going to have to buy an extended warranty. And the extended warranties are not cheap. To do a 1-year extended warranty, it's like $2,200. So, again, everything costs money in this high-end video world. But, considering what the machine costs to begin with, it's cheap insurance each year to pay that. But not in the budget this month. Maybe in a couple of months, we'll be able to put on a year's worth of basically extended warranty, and we'll just cross our fingers that nothing goes south in the meantime. Okay, so anyway, that's a little kind of more than probably what you wanted to know, but this is probably the big investment that I've going to have for the entire year for the studio. We'll see after NEB if I come back and say the same thing, but that show, usually there's more stuff there than I have money to spend, but it's always fun to look and maybe get some review units. I've also just connected up with a new company that's sending me a box of phones and tablets and all kinds of stuff. So we've upped our game quite a little bit, and we're on a new distribution level for doing reviews on geeknewscentral.com. So see more of that coming. None of the stuff I get to keep, I have to send back. But you'll see a lot higher volume of reviews on the website as we move forward. Okay, I think that's it. Let me look at my stack here on stuff I wanted to talk to again. Show number 1102 here, and we're going to move into the content today. And if I can do this without killing something here. because I got to make sure I'm set. There's a good article over in space.com talking about Cape Canaveral specifically and what they are, some of the stuff they're talking about today is all this infrastructure that is there that is not being utilized anymore. And it's an interesting write-up with some pictures that are, you know, you just kind of think back the money that was spent in the past, but talks about the opportunity for these facilities at some point to be utilized. There's a gentleman who took a number of pictures of this particular site, and it's entitled Abandoned Spaces History, and it's a photo series that you'll be able to take a peek at, but link will be up, of course, in the show notes tonight. For those of you that are in listening to the show, if you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, please do so. The newsletter, really, when I send out the newsletter, it covers everything that has all the links for all the content that I'm going to walk through tonight. Hey, in New York City, they're rolling out these free Wi-Fi platforms, right? And what's going on there is there are some concerns on privacy. You know, everyone wants free internet. And we know that when deployed effectively, it can be, you know, really valuable. But as oftentimes, it's really hard to use. But New York City's municipal Wi-Fi, which is admittedly blazingly fast, the folks that at the ACLU had the NYCLU, excuse me, they took a look at the user agreements that just basically in terms of service for what you for using their system, and they've got some potential problems that people using that system could be or should consider. The Link NYC is powered by a company called CityBridge, and it's equivalent, or it's ambient, or ambivalent about protecting personal ID information. They say CityBridge only promises to make reasonable efforts to retain your data no longer than 12 months, and if the government comes knocking for your information, CityBridge will only make reasonable attempts to let you know what's happening. So there's concern here that, you know, if you're using this particular service, that your data could probably be turned over or may not be removed in a timely manner after the 12 months. So, you know, free's free, and I'm sure a lot of people won't care about this. Probably the folks only that are doing naughty stuff on it probably are the only ones that care. But they are raising the point. And if you're going to New York City and you're using NYC Link, just be aware that, you know, your data may not be the data that you're, you know, accessing. That information is may be on file a long time. And that, you know, if the government comes looking for your data, they may not turn you that information over. There's always, every month, a rotation of new videos, new media. There's a good article over on CNET talking about everything arriving on Amazon Prime in April. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. It lists all the new movies are coming. I'm just kind of looking at here with some of the stuff that's coming in, and I'm not really excited. These are 1997, 1983, like Risky Business and Ronin, I guess that's relatively new. A Nurse is coming to it. Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear. The Holiday, 2006 movie. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, classic. And a number of, anyway, these videos are all coming to Amazon Prime on April 1st. One thing I did find out about this new software program, it will allow me to mirror a Firefox browser, but for some reason it sees Chrome, but it doesn't ever show up on the screen. So it is a little bit buggy on this system, and something I'll have to determine. How many of you use AT&T? AT&T has a privacy feature. And this is, and I don't know if we talked about this at all, but AT&T continues to insist that companies' practices of charging broadband customers up to $60 more per month not to be spied on is actually a generous discount being offered by the company. As a DSL report noted a few years ago, AT&T has started charging its broadband customers significantly more if they want to opt out of AT&T's Internet Preferences program, which uses deep packet inspection to track and monitor users' behavior around the Internet. So with AT&T suing Google Fiber from entering the Louisville market, one local Louisville paper took notice of AT&T's practice of making privacy a pricey premium option. So in a conversation with Louisville Business First, AT&T insisted that they are simply giving their broadband customers a choice and a discount. They say, "We offer customers a choice to share their data or not," she said in an email. "If they do not, they receive a discount. If they do, they receive a discount and relevant advertising tailored to their interest." So in other words, they want you to pay to not have them spy on your data. And they're doing you a favor by spying on your stuff, by you not paying that fee to opt out. I would think that the FCC should flip that. So they should go in and say, if you want to snoop on your customers, it's just amazing to me that, they should get their price. And then if you want to snoop, then AT&T should pay us $60 a month for the ability to snoop on us. But I don't know if it's worth $800 a year. It's just amazing. You know, you think about having to give them that money to get off their spying list. I just don't know how they get away with that these days with all the privacy stuff that's been raised their head. But if you're an AT&T customer, yes, they're spying on you. And you have no choice unless you pay the penalty to ask them to stop spying on you. Makes sense, right? Ha ha. Hey, there's a new survey out in the UK that suggests that daylight isn't all that, at least in young people's enlightened minds. And I guess neither is hot water. But they do love the idea of more followers on social media. So the Huffington Post reported, well, this article, essentially this study that was done in the UK, found that 69% of the 2,465 youths picked an internet connection as an essential, where only 64% chose daylight. A perfectly filthy 57% said that hot water was a good idea. but yet a very, very high high percentage of them said that free speech was something that was a right, that was ranked real up there on a need. So I would hope so. These kids say, we don't need no daylight. As long as we got, 70%, as long as we got an internet connection, we're good. And 64% said, daylight's great as well. So, oh man, my son, he likes to hang out in a dark room and play games. So definitely daylight's not important to him at all. Okay, over on NewsSunu, SUNU.com, page I haven't been on before. Apple has been awarded a new encryption patent, and this is even as it fights the FBI. The patent office has granted Apple a patent for a new type of encryption, and it's called a multi-block cryptographic operation. The details of the patent are both highly technical and vague, but they hint at a method for Apple to keep people from pirating media by making legal copies of digital music, photographs, and videos. They're also doing some stuff to make encryption faster and make it hard for someone to recover the encryption key by reverse engineering code, said Matthew Green, who teaches cryptography and computer science at Johns Hopkins University, and reviewed the application. More importantly, this patent shows that the technology industry is pushing for stronger locks. We all kind of knew that. Apple says the current U.S. government-approved advanced encryption standard doesn't go far enough. It guards information, but there's a weakness, a potential entry point, if a person has privileged access to the system implementing the lock itself. So they applied for this patent in 2014, long before this trouble started, but not necessarily after Snowden. So a year and a half, they have gotten this new patent approved. So I'm sure they will move forth if they haven't already. Starting warm up in many parts of the country. So want to get a drone? There's lots of great ones. I'll have a link up in the show notes tonight to you for picking up a drone everywhere from every price range, $70 all the way up to about $500 on some good ones that are out there. And I really think the DJI ones are really fantastic. And even the low-cost DJI drones are really exceptional when it comes to flying them. So link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. Big news out of Cairo. Radar scans of King Tutankhamun's burial chamber revealed, as was suspected, two hidden rooms, a very tantalizing discovery that could resolve a mystery as old as the pyramids. And they are wondering that if his mother is entombed behind his tomb's walls. So at a packed Cairo news conference Thursday, they announced the find. And so they're, you know, not commenting on whether any royal treasure or more mummies might be inside the room, but they did say that it could hold some organic or metal objects. So that's a pretty broad statement, but they've done a couple of these scans. They're going to do another one, but it's a big deal, because if they want to get into those rooms, they're going to have to figure out a way to do it and not destroy the essentially the stuff that's on the walls. They're going to have to decide whether to go through that and do something non-destructive. But they do think that there is a hidden doorway, and so pretty exciting stuff. We'll see what happens here. But I would expect in the next year or two, they're going to be cutting through to see what they can find. CNET is reporting 11 things they learned at South by Southwest. We know the president was there, and he said that there was going to be some privacy trade-offs. Number two, people stand in line for just about everything. And in South by Southwest, it seems like everyone stands in line for everything. That's one of the reasons I don't go anymore. J.J. Abrams doesn't want you to watch Star Wars on your phone, or any movie for that matter. At least that's what he was saying. He says you need to watch movies like this on the big screen. There was a little bit of a shakeup by a gal that showed up who her faith is Muslim, and she was wearing her hijab as the headscarf, and the South by Southwest staff actually said she had to take it off to get her picture, and there was a big dust up. It was ugly, and South by Southwest apologized to her, but someone didn't have their story straight. South by Southwest is now becoming more of a brand event, and where the brands have taken over, very commercialized. I agree with that. I guess the First Lady was at South By as well, and she made a comment at some event that she would not be running for president. So that's interesting. No more legacy candidates from at least the Obama family. Number seven, you can't look cool while checking out VR goggles. I think we all know that. Also, there was really no breakout company. Each year, there seems to be like a social tool that breaks out, and this year, really nothing really happened in that case. So, We'll see, but there was some launches there. YouTube's co-founder Steve Chen launched his new app called Nom. It's a live video service dedicated to food and cooking. And Andrew Jarecki, a director of HBO, pushed a video app called The Jinx that he launched in January. Oh, actually, so it's called Know Me. Describes a cross between Snapchat and Instagram. And so those are kind of two that are making news. Number nine, filmmaking easy, and you can too. But it appears that a lot of people now are using just GoPros and recording movies. People are in a little $400 GoPro, and you can be a filmmaker. Anyway, last couple of things is just stuff that we're talking about. Online harassment not being able to be fixed. And but there was a lot of also a lot of government officials from Washington at South by Southwest. So anyway, that's the news from South by. How many of you use Google Docs? I use it a lot. But I didn't know that there was a feature in Google Docs that lets you expire a document. And I thought this was cool. So you can set a view access to a document, and then you can share it with them. But then you can set the date on when they aren't going to have access to that. So I'm working on some documents right now that I shared. I wanted to have a couple of people look at, but I didn't want them in there the whole time. So really, once they're in there, they're in there. So I was just going to make a new doc, but I found this new feature. It's really slick. So if you're using Google Docs and you want to expire someone's access to the document, you can do that through an advanced feature that I think the majority of us didn't even know existed. There's been a huge rise in keylogging hijacks of businesses. So, you know, just tell your employees if you have a business or if you work with people, just be careful, especially if you're getting emails from someone that's the CFO or one of the directors of your company asking for information, especially if they're giving you attachments and that type of stuff. Lots of accounts are being, lots of people are being tricked into clicking things that come in email, which ultimately is installing a keylogger and really giving these folks, you know, the keys to your kingdom. So be careful there when you're going through stuff. Last week, and we kind of missed this, astronaut Scott Kelly announced that it was time right to retire from NASA. There's a pretty good interview with him on sci.org, and I'll have that linked up there. But he's going to retire from going into space, but he is going to do some part-time work for NASA, which sounds pretty cool. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to review. Turner Broadcasting is planning to start offering standalone streaming services by the end of the year. So this is kind of interesting here. They plan to branch off some of the cable bundles this year with new direct-to-consumer streaming services. And details are not readily available, but they have a few possibilities in mind. Broadcasting Cable reports, for instance, the company could launch a streaming offshoot for one of its existing TV networks or create a brand extension aimed at superfans. Turner, which is owned by Time Warner, includes CNN, HLN, TNT, TBS, TCM, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, Boomerang, and True TV in its network roster. And so they're putting together some packages, some streaming packages, which I found to be pretty curious, probably offered through an app that they're going to make available. But we'll see what happens here. Are you believing UFOs? Well, there's a gentleman who found a UFO out near Area 51 using Google Maps. And I'm sure this is a legitimate UFO sighting on the ground. But if you listen to the first 4 or 5 minutes of this guy's video, actually 3 minutes and 11 seconds, I don't know how this made Yahoo News, but it did. I guess when you talk about crazy stuff like that, and I'm not saying the UFOs don't exist, But if it's out by Area 51, I would more suspect it to be some sort of a military project. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. I'll have it up for you there. Kind of comical. This guy just assumes a couple of things in there that'll make you go, okay. Tesla Model X, according to Ars Technica, could be the best SUV they have ever driven. Well, I wonder how many SUVs Ars Technica's actually drove. But, you know, it's going to be a hot seller. And, of course, I think they're already sold out for a while. But, you know, we'll see these on the road here pretty soon. But the Model X is going to be pretty doggone expensive. Of course, we know that the Model S, what that price range is, but this is not going to be an SUV that the majority of us are going to be able to afford to buy. It may be in range, but I'm not fully expecting it when I heard prices around $80,000 for it. Well, Comcast is batting 1,000 here. Comcast failed to install internet for 10 months, then demanded $60,000 in fees. Now, you think if you're in Silicon Valley, you would have the most connected place in the whole planet. You know, that's where all startups go to get VC and, you know, have connections. But nearly a year ago, Silicon Valley startup Smart Car signed up for what's called Comcast Internet Service. And they leased a business based upon being told by Comcast, yep, the internet will be available there. We can get you some ridiculous speed. And, well, the company is moving. And it's been a year because Comcast could never get the internet installed. But they tried real hard and actually renegotiated a deal and said, oh, if you commit to a 3-year commitment at $1,000 a month for internet service, we'll get the fiber in there. And they agreed to that, and ultimately it never happened. Basically Comcast tried to stick them with a big bill. They ultimately didn't have to pay it because they had some folks step in, some news sites step in and ask Comcast why. But you know, they were trying to strong arm up to that point. But Comcast is still saying that there's availability of business internet in that area. So, and it's a little more false advertising. But if you're going to be renting something, absolutely unequivocally get it guaranteed in writing you're going to be able to get high-speed internet at that location. Or you could be facing the situation this company is. You know, that. And this company did everything they were supposed to do, and it was a total screw-up. But anytime there's non-existing internet in a building, I would be very, very questionable whether or not that they're going to be able to bring the drops in a timely manner, just because you got to usually dig stuff up to lay new fiber down to get to a building. And companies don't move that quick these days. There's a lot of folks saying we're coming into the age of virtual reality, and we're going to be using headsets that will basically get us in a VR space, and a lot of gamers. So there's a good write-up about a new headset called the Avigant Glyph, and it's, I don't know why they picked that particular name for that virtual reality headset. It just seems a little bit weird. But I'm going to, for those of you that are listening, you'll want to go to this article and see the video of this dude, of these screens shining into his eyes. It's a little weird, to be honest with you. It looks like this guy's eyes are glowing, but pretty good write up this. For those of you that are gamers, you may want to think about this particular VR headset. And, you know, see what the function is. I've seen these. I never tried them. But he says that this headset or this VR headset creates an out-of-body experience without leaving your body. And he used these glasses for about 30 hours. Well, at least he didn't have an epileptic fit with them. But good write-up on VR. We're going to see a lot more stuff with virtual. Any of you guys using any VR headsets yet? If you are, I'd love to hear from you. Which ones you bought and what you're using for? Or are they just sitting in a corner collecting dust? News from Homeland Security. The Homeland Security Department on Thursday formally began sharing details of new digital threats with private businesses and other government agencies, a culmination of a long-time effort to improve cybersecurity. So a federal law passed at the end of 2015 was intended to encourage corporations to share information about cyber threats. The program is voluntary, and the number of companies that will participate or how effective their program will be remains unclear. But at the same time, the Homeland Security is going to be sharing threat information with specific companies targeted and that type of stuff. So if you're a business owner and get a call by Homeland Security, you probably have a right to worry. But they are going to work with some other companies a little tighter in passing more information as well. So we will see where this leads. I should have covered this in the last article about Comcast, but Comcast in Atlanta is the home to a new gigabit internet trial that that Comcast is bringing on board. Comcast promotional price is $70, the same as Google Fiber's regular price, but locks customers in for 2 years longer than what Google is asking. So the move is clearly designed to deny Google Fiber customers as it enters Comcast turf. And so basically they're trying to get customers signed for a 3-year contract to get this high-speed internet. But Comcast conveniently neglects to mention Google Fiber's real competitive advantage in its charts, which are the ones that really matter. The price customers have to pay and the quality of service they get. Fiber's cheaper, doesn't lock customers into a 36-month contract, and is actually faster, since Comcast gigabit plan only offers 35 megabits upload speed. They don't get symmetrical speeds. And to get symmetrical speeds, customers would have to opt for Comcast Gigabit Pro, which offers 2 gig up and down. It costs $300 a month, whereas with Google, $70, you get symmetrical upload and download. So if you're in Atlanta, don't fall for this dealio from Comcast. Get signed up on Google Fiber. The FTC is warning app developers that they better not be using any audio monitoring software in their apps. So a dozen developers appear to have packaged TV tracking software into their product. So the FTC sent out warning letters to these 12 smartphone app developers for allegedly compromising user privacy. The software from an Indian company called Silverpush allows apps to use the smartphone's microphone to listen to nearby television audio in an effort to deliver more targeted advertisements. Silverpush allows the apps to essentially monitor television viewing habits of people with downloaded apps with the software included. The function is designed to run silently in the background even while the user is not actively using the application. So using this technology, Silverpush could generate a detailed log of television content viewed while a user's mobile phone was turned on. Naughty, naughty, naughty. And there's 12 developers appear to have included Silverpush code in apps available in the Google Play Store, the FTC said. And they don't provide a list. So that's too bad that we don't have a list to know which companies are not doing the right thing. If you get ransomware on your computer, the new one, or the one that's been out there, Tesla Crypt, has been upgraded. And at this point, researchers are saying it can't be unhacked. It's basically so encrypted that if you want your data back off that specific machine and you don't have it backed up, you're going to have to pay the purchase a private bit key or private key with Bitcoin to pay him off. And I heard it's like around $400 right now to get your media unlocked. So it's a good article. Talks about ways to avoid it. But if you get hit by Tesla Crypt 3.0.1, you either have to pay the ransom or restore your computer from a backup. So, you know, ransomware has become the black plague of the internet. And it's spread by highly sophisticated exploit kits and countless spam campaigns. The adversaries are modifying and improving in every version. Anyone can become a victim if you're hit by a new version as yet undetected by your antivirus software. Again, don't rely on decryption tools. Make sure your backups are in place and they are up to date so that you can get out of jail free card without having to pay these folks off. How many of you are light sleepers? Well, according to a new study, getting enough sleep has different people, different meanings for different people. If I've gotten older, I'm sleeping more now. It used to be when we started this show, 11 years ago, that I was a four-hour night guy. Now I'm five and a half hours is what I need. That's what 10 years has done to me. But an estimated 50 to 70 million Americans have chronic sleep or wakefulness disorders. My wife is a very, very light sleeper. If a mouse farts, she hears it. So figuring out sleep is important. They're starting to think it might have some genetic components. And they've been doing some studies. So they're going to be really digging into this and seeing if they can figure out that guys like me that, needed four and a half, five hours, and folks that needed 10 have any type of different genetic makeup, because they really think at this point that, we're just different, and that's just the way it is. So Russian researchers have proposed four types of people. Not just morning people or night owls, but also people who are energetic in both the morning and night, and unlucky people are just lethargic all day. So, if I could, I'd be a night owl. I'd just work all night and sleep all day. If I could get up at noon, that would be perfectly fine with me. So it's really a chore for me to, to get up in the morning. It's just, I have to force myself to do it. But I'd rather work all night, to be quite frank. Hey, Flying Scotsman, you guys know what that is? That's a train, the legendary locomotive, which recently steamed out of a 4.2 million pound refurbishment, or maybe it was was traveling on the North Yorkshire Moors Railway, NYWMR, last Sunday, when passengers clocked a UAV on the left-hand side of the train and thought it must be taking photos, but the UAV crashed into the train. So someone got a little bit too close in their video taking with the drone. So authorities are investigating. I guess that's a first. Someone crashes a drone into a train. That's pretty obvious who's going to win that, pound for pound battle when it comes to, physics on does the drone win or the locomotive? Well, very, very simple. How many of you remember the game Sonic? Well, Sonic comes to Apple TV. If you still an old Sega console, the chances are you haven't played it in years. Luckily, a number of companies' most popular games, including Sonic the Hedgehog, have been ported to modern app store. That means you can get your gaming fix even if it's on a mobile device. So you've already downloaded or attempted to buy Sonic the Hedgehog 1 or Sonic the Hedgehog 2. On your iPhone or iPad, it is available now for the Apple TV. I never in my entire life ever played Sonic. Those of you that live in San Francisco, well, apparently if you were following the BART Twitter account, apparently the person that was tweeting over there had a little bit of a meltdown. Of course, BART was having some trouble. And at 9:22 p.m. on the 16th of March, the BART person said, BART was built to transport far fewer people, and much of our system has reached the end of its useful life. This is our reality. So basically everyone was complaining to the BART Twitter account, and they were playing along for a while, but then he started like saying, yeah, our system sucks. I wonder if that person still has a job today. You know, that's probably not the response that Bart wanted to give out. If you're an Audible fan, Audible wants you to share audiobook passages like Vine Clips. So they're essentially making it available so that you can take a segment out of an audiobook and share it. A little bit of a way to get some social action, I guess, on a specific book. I don't listen to Audible books. I read books. If I listened to an Audible book, I would fall asleep. You know, I'd rather read. Not fall asleep as well, but at least it's on my terms, right? Don't like Twitter's new algorithmic feed? Then turn it off. And I've got instructions here. Very, very simple way to do it. Three steps to get it shut off. I'll have that available in the show notes tonight. You love Post-it notes? Well, Amazon is discounting Post-it products for the brand's 35th anniversary. I'm a Post-it note fanatic. All of my little like to-dos go on Post-it notes. I end up with like, you know, mini stacks of to-do things. As I cross off, they go into a shredder. I love Post-it notes. So if you, you know, they're usually pretty expensive, but you can get, I think, a collection of 24 3x3s for $18. But anyway, I'd link them up in the show notes for you to check that out if you're a Post-it note ninja. Remember Home Depot got hacked after its sales registers, because of its sales registers? Well, it's going to cost Home Depot $19.5 million in compensation to 50 million customers hit by the hackers who infiltrated the change sales machines in 2014. The U.S. Home Improvement Warehouse will create a $13 million fund to reimburse shoppers and spend a further $6.5 million providing a year's worth of identity protection for those impacted. A little bit late for that, isn't it there, Home Depot? Over in ZDNet, they got a good article talking about U.S. government pushed tech firms to hand over source code. And it talks specifically about the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and those particular secret courts that are going on. A lot of times, source code is requested and companies don't know why. There's been a little bit of revelations today over the LavaBit case. You guys remember LavaBit? It's where the owners shut the service down in order to not comply with the government's request to turn over the source code. Well, a little bit of information was definitely released that they don't think was that they thought was supposed to have been redacted, but wasn't. The request for that source code was specifically looking for Snowden. He was using that service. And the government wanted to get access to his email. And, of course, the owner said no. And he folded the service rather than give up the code to the feds. So I'll have the link up on that as well. Those of you that are aviation fans, you will love this one. There's a new story. And it comes from Foxtrot Alpha. They're always coming up with some cool flying stories. But did you know there was a time that an SR-71 made an emergency landing in Norway after spying on the Soviets? Yes, it happened during the Cold War. And this was back in the early 80s, like 1982. And this particular event happened in 1981, August 12th of 1981. And they had some mechanical trouble, and they diverted to Norway. So it's a pretty long article, but a very, very cool story about what happened upon landing and the press and everything else that happened in conjunction with that event. And you just drop in on a NATO ally and say, I got plane trouble. I'm here. Well, it's not an issue if you're a regular plane, but an SR-71 landing can get people's attention. All right, inside Apple CEO Tim Cook fights with the FBI. Apple versus FBI, a Time interview, time.com. I don't normally link to these interviews, but another very, very long interview. Again, Tim Cook and Time magazine or time.com discussing privacy in America, and it's their battle over encryption. So I'll have that link up for you to review. Anonymous is starting to produce results on Donald Trump. They've actually got some links up already, providing information about his Social Security number and a variety of other things. So the war has begun against that presidential candidate. Also, there's a really juicy, seriously juicy article talking about a top rocket executive quitting after telling the truth about the SpaceX price war. Brett Tobey, Vice President of Engineering at the United Launch Alliance, has resigned after he spilled the beans on ULA's feud with SpaceX. He had made remarks to students at his alma mater in a speech that was recorded and then put online. Of course, ULA is a joint venture between Boeing and Lockheed Martin that lofts U.S. military satellites in orbit. The business has been at loggerheads with SpaceX after Elon Musk was basically locked out of the bidding for government contracts, and he raised a lot of stink about it and was finally able to bid and win some launches, and it just goes into the dirt. This guy definitely had not happy. Now, this is a big business guy. You know, ULA, again, made up between Boeing and Lockheed, and here you've got little old SpaceX coming in and disrupting their business, and this guy just unloaded and telling all kinds of dirt. So if you want some juicy reading, I'll have it up in the show notes, of course. Google wants more mobile-friendly websites. We all know this, and Google started to label websites as being mobile-friendly in search results, and last year Google began to rank mobile-friendly websites higher. And however, it looks like Google's quest for a mobile-friendly website is still going on, because in a recent post on their Webmaster Central blog, Google highlights some of the changes they're planning to make. According to Google, today they're announcing that beginning of May will start rolling out an update to mobile search results that increase the effects of ranking signal to help our users find even more pages that are relevant and mobile friendly. While there is little to no details, this basically sounds like Google will start prioritizing mobile friendly websites even higher before. For the end user, this only can be a good thing, but if you're a website owner who has yet to make the transition, you probably should. And we are quite mobile ready here and about to become even more so. If you're a SoundCloud fan, I am not. SoundCloud has signed a licensing deal with Sony Music. The streaming service has locked up all the deals it needs for a paid service. So maybe they'll still be able to dig themselves out of their very, very multi-million deep hole that they are in. In a little bit of, showmanship here, the New York Times is reporting that Apple engineers may quit before cracking the iPhone. The company's rebellious anti-authority culture might provide an unexpected roadblock to the FBI, because some developers are saying we'll quit before we unlock the iPhone. That's pretty strong language that someone would be willing to give up their job versus unlocking iPhones. Hey, Spotify's agreed to pay millions for unmatched royalties as well. Songwriters will finally get the cash for songs that were missing their information. So basically, the National Music Publishers Association has come to an agreement over unpaid royalties for music on the streaming service that didn't have a copyright owner information. They're going to have to pay $21 million to make it right. So songwriters are going to get some checks here. Symantec's also warning of a serious security hole in the Symantec security kit. So Symantec is advising users of its endpoint protection, SEP software, to update their systems after three vulnerabilities reported in the computer defenses tools. Two of the bugs, a cross-site scripting XSS flaw and an SQL injection vulnerability, are in the SEP management console. So, they've got problems on their own. So if this sounds at all familiar to you, and it's usually big businesses that have these SEP management consoles, again, definitely check this out and let your IT guy know what's going on. All right, so little rough show tonight, yeah? A little weird on the articles, to be honest with you. All right, I've got some emails that came in, and I'm loading them now. Where's Michaels? Got an email from Emma Small Biz. He said, "Hey, Todd, as a tech that supports a host of clients from single-man offices to corporate networks, the whole Windows 10 push by Microsoft has been a total pain in the butt. While within a corporate network, Microsoft initially said they would not push Windows 10 upgrade adverts, that they have since decided to go ahead and screw around with corporate networks as well as non-domain work group window installs. This is not a nuisance. It's a business stopper. My networks are designed to run in a specific way and with support from the various application vendors. When Microsoft comes into those networks and makes changes through an OS upgrade, they are breaking company machines and costing those companies money. Very few line of business applications are supported under Windows 10, especially in the medical environment. That means if an upgrade takes place, the machine is no longer in a supported configuration for that application. So even if the application does work, it doesn't matter because the vendor won't support it. Even if they did support it, now we have a new OS which requires user training. And while Windows 10s may be an easy enough to catch on, to who the heck is Microsoft decide a company has to have downtime for the upgrade process and associated user training? What this has resulted in is admins everywhere were turning off Windows Update. I certainly have. Now, is this a great idea? Heck no. But can we trust Microsoft that a security update is a security update? We certainly couldn't trust their statement that corporate domain-based computers would not be offered Windows 10 upgrades. At least Microsoft has provided with us a way to disable the icon and upgrade options for now anyway. You can do those either through group policy or editing your registry. To make it easy, I created two command line inputs which create those registry keys, which in my case is easy to deploy to dozens of computers, but for the novice, it makes it easy to create those registry entries as we typically don't want end users editing the registry." So he provided me two reg ads, and after reboot, the Windows 10 icon will be gone. You no longer be prompted to upgrade to Windows 10, at least as long as Microsoft honors those registries. So I'll have those registry keys. How am I going to do that? If you want them, those of you having trouble, email me, and I will forward this email to you with the user's information removed. Also, I got an email from Michael, and I have to give a small, let's see here, where is the email? Michael, where did you send me the email? Anyway, what it was about was the intro music. I, for some reason, had an old intro that was named almost the same as what was supposed to be going in the audio intros. So for a while, you guys were getting an intro that should not have been in there. We play it like once every 100 episodes, and it was in like 4 or 5 episodes. My apology completely. Hopefully that won't happen again. But that was my bust. I didn't mean to change the audio intro. I just grabbed the wrong file and was pasting it into the, you know, the video folks weren't getting it, but those of you that were listening to the audio part were. So again, my apologies here. All right, time to wrap up. Thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for, you know, tuning in today. And again, the next two shows will be audio only from Albuquerque via my mini portable studio that studio in a bag. And we'll be looking forward to bringing a couple episodes from there. But again, two audio shows next week before we're back here in the studio in a week. But everyone, thanks. We'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. And aloha.